Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14, these are God's words. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever is made manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Okay, so the bad news is worse than we often think. We often think of the bad news as being in darkness, but he actually tells them in verse 8 that they were darkness. And apart from Christ, we weren't just in darkness. That is, we didn't just think wrongly, but we were darkness. We were wicked to the core of our being. And the good news is better than we think. Because when God saves you, he doesn't just give you light so that you learn of him and know about him and so forth. But he makes you light. He gives you a new nature. And when he's done with his work in you, then you will be light. This is how God talks about himself in 1 John chapter 1. He says, we know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then he tells us a couple chapters later, at the beginning of chapter 3 of that book, that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet appeared, because we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And that's why it says, walk as children of light, when at the beginning of the chapter it said, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. And so just as he said you should bear the family resemblance of your heavenly Father, and walk in love, so also you should, as it were, bear the family resemblance of light itself, and walk as children of light. Now, everything that we do is either going to be a fruit of the Spirit, a result of his work in our life, or it's going to be something that is unfruitful. Do you see those two things? If you look at verse 9, he talks about walking as children of light as being the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And so you can slouch into unfruitful works. Fruit takes growth. Fruit takes effort. It comes from our new nature. But that which is darkness, that which comes naturally to the old man, is unfruitful. It's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And so what fruit is the Spirit producing in those who are the children of God in Jesus Christ? He's producing goodness and righteousness and truth. And how much of it is he producing? All goodness, all righteousness, all truth. And so there's a scavenger hunt or a search mission in verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That a believer who knows that either his actions are going to be according to his former nature, unfruitful works of darkness, or according to his new nature in Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, he is going to want to find out everything he can about what pleases God so that he can do those things, all the good things, all the righteous things, all the true things. And of course, where do we find those things out? Well, you find out what the fruit of the Spirit is in the Word that the Spirit has given in the Bible. And so a big part of our Christian life is finding out what is pleasing to the Lord, but not just finding it out so that we can know, but finding it out so that we can be and do and walk. And so we search the scriptures to know what pleases him, because we want to bear that fruit of the Spirit. We want to bear the family resemblance. We want to please our Lord. And then he says, don't have fellowship with them. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because although there are some things that look respectable on the surface, we know, verse 12, that it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And so don't start thinking of sin as if it comes in acceptable degrees. There is sin in varying degrees. Some sin is more heinous than other sin, but it is all wicked. It all deserves wrath. It all hates God. And he says, if even though it's not of the same intensity, it is of the same nature as those things that they do in secret that are shameful even to speak. That's what Jesus was teaching us when he taught us that not to allow hatred or rash anger to rise up in our hearts, or even to cry out, "You fool," because those things are before God of the same nature as committing murder, or even to look at a woman with lust, because that before God is of the same nature as adultery. And so here he's saying, don't have fellowship with any of the unfruitful works of darkness, because you know that it is shameful even to speak of what they do in secret. And the works of darkness are of the same nature as those things that it is shameful even to mention. Now, there is a discomfort that comes with not having fellowship with the fruitful works of darkness and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and that is, darkness does not like to be exposed. And you will feel this tension when you are around not only unbelievers, but even believers who are not being careful about the way they think and speak and act. You will feel the tension of not wanting to be too good, because then it will make them feel uncomfortable for the kinds of things that they are talking about and the way that they act. And, you know, things like what we saw in the previous passage, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, verse 4. And isn't it weird or odd or interesting how when somebody is talking like that, and we feel the discomfort in our soul before the Lord, we also feel uncomfortable confronting them on it, or slipping away, or not participating in it. We can even be embarrassed of not laughing when everybody else is laughing, and feel compelled to join in. But he says, no. He says, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, at one point in my Christian life, I was hearing people use this text as a justification for arguing with everybody about everything. We have to expose all the unfruitful works of darkness. And so we run around like we've been assigned by Jesus to have arguments with everybody all the time. Now, there are times when you need to speak up for your Lord, but he's talking here about being children of light and the darkness being exposed by the fact that you refuse to participate in it, that you refuse to have fellowship with those works. And so you commit yourself to walking with the Lord according to his word, and don't back down from thinking and speaking and living in the right way, even though it's going to create an uncomfortable tension. And those who want to be more okay with sin and foolishness and filthiness and coarse jesting, like verse 4 describes, they will be irritated with you. But don't worry about them being irritated with you. Think about what good the Lord often does by exposing the darkness. Because he goes on to say, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever is exposed is light. You see, one day you had to find out that the way that you came into this world thinking and speaking and acting, your original nature, was darkness. so that when your original nature was exposed as darkness, you would see your danger and trust in Jesus. And you're probably grateful for whoever and however, even if you can't even remember who it was. It's probably me and Mom. But even if you can't remember who it was, you're probably grateful now that the darkness that you were was exposed to you, because it was necessary to have your darkness exposed so that you would abandon all hope in yourself and turn from your sin and hope only in Jesus and trust in Him to make you light. And so not only should you be grateful for those whom He used to expose you, but you should also think, maybe if I walk as a child of light and the darkness is uncomfortable being around me and is exposed by that discomfort, maybe the Lord will use that to bring them to repentance so that they trust in Him and love Him and want to serve Him. And that's the relationship between verse 13 and verse 14. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You can't awaken the sleeping, and you can't resurrect the dead, and you can't give them light, but Jesus can use you walking as light to expose the darkness, because He intends to wake them up, to resurrect them, to give them light. And so you see, not only are we bearing the family resemblance, we are participating in the family trade, the business that our Savior and our Father is in, and His Spirit is in, the business of turning darkness into light. Don't you want God to use your life that way? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank You that You have not only sent Your Spirit to give us life and faith in Jesus, and that He has transformed us from darkness into light, but that You also give us the opportunity to live in a way that shows what You have done in our lives, and that You even use this sometimes as part of bringing others to faith and transforming them. We ask that as a result of our studying this portion of Your Word in Your worship tonight, that You would cause us more and more to walk as children of light. We thank You for the day in which You had exposed our darkness to ourselves, so that we might trust in the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we pray that You would make us also light and salt in Your world, which we ask in His name. And Your children here say, Amen. Amen.